Welcome to your deep dive. We've got a whole bunch of your sources here about geometric transformations.
Yes, someone's getting ready for a big test.
It sounds like it, but no worries. That's why we're here. We're going to ditch the formulas and really get into these transformations.
Absolutely. We'll be diving into translations, reflections, rotations. Those are the ones that really shift and turn things around. And of course, dilations, which deal with resizing. And importantly, we'll be looking at how all of these transformations relate to whether or not a figure is still fundamentally the same, making it congruent, or if it just ends up similar.
Okay, so let's start with those transformations that just change the position of a shape.
Right.
So translations, reflections, and rotations.
It's kind of like rearranging furniture in a way, you know? You're changing where it is.
Right.
But you're not changing the furniture itself. So with these three transformations, it's the same idea, but with geometric shapes.
So like with a translation, that's like sliding that sofa across the room, same shape, just different location, right?
Yeah, and it's just like how every single part of that sofa moves the same distance in a translation.
Right.
Every point on that shape, which we call a vertex, also moves in exactly the same way.
And slide one in analyzed translations shows that perfectly.
Exactly. And to give a more concrete example, in slide nine of that same source, you can see polygon ABCD being translated 8 units down and 3 to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And each vertex makes that exact same move, which ensures that the shape itself stays the same.
Okay, so what about reflections?
Reflections. Think of it like looking in a mirror. It's a flip. It creates a mirror image of the original shape. And slide five in Analyze Reflections has this really cool visualization with the hands.
Yeah.
Where you shade in the right hands. It really highlights that mirror image concept.
So just like a mirror has a center line.
Right. Reflections need a line of reflection.
Uh-huh.
That acts as the mirror.
Gotcha.
And this is shown in slide nine of that same source, where polygon ABCDE is reflected across what we call the x-axis. And one key thing to notice here is that each point on the original shape and its corresponding point on the image, they're the same distance from this line, just like, you know, a mirror.
They're balanced.
Exactly. And you can see that even more clearly in slide 12 with that parallelogram, it really drives home that equal distance thing.
Very cool. All right, so now let's spin things around with rotations.
Rotations.
It's like turning a steering wheel.
Yeah, yeah, like clockwise or counterclockwise.
And every single point
mm-hmm.
on that shape is just going to move around a fixed point.
Exactly.
Like that clock hand in slide three of Analyze Rotations.
Precisely. To really nail down rotations, though, we need two main things.
Right.
The angle of rotation, which basically tells us how much we're turning, and the point of rotation, which is kind of like our anchor point.
It's like the north star of our rotation.
Exactly, exactly. And slide five of Analyze Rotations really emphasizes this by asking, you know, how do you describe a rotation?
Makes sense. And our pasted text source also mentions how important direction is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like whether we're going clockwise or counterclockwise.
Right. And we represent those with, you know, positive and negative angles, respectively.
So a 90-degree clockwise rotation is totally different than a 90-degree counterclockwise rotation.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. For example, if we look at slide 9, where we've got trapezoid ABCD being rotated 90 degrees clockwise about the origin. Now, what's really cool here is how the X and Y coordinates of each vertex, they change in a very predictable way. It's almost like a pattern.
Yeah, and that's where that generalized box on that slide comes in.
Yeah.
It's like it gives us a shortcut
exactly.
for figuring out how those coordinates swap and change signs with each 90-degree turn.
That's really cool.
So we've moved our shapes around, but what about resizing them? That's where dilations come in.
Dilation, and that's basically like zooming in or out on a photo, right?
Exactly, exactly. Imagine you're a city planner.
Okay.
And you've got this blueprint and you want to, you know, design a park.
Hmm.
You can actually use dilations to take that plan and kind of blow it up to the actual size to visualize how it would look on the land.
That's really cool.
And that's the essence of dilations. You're changing the size, but the shape itself stays the same.
So you're not warping it in any way. You're just purely scaling it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And describe dilations. That source, slide one, I think, really highlights this idea of, you know, enlarging or shrinking, but keeping that form consistent.
Yeah, absolutely.
So instead of moving the shape around, we're actually like, you know, grabbing it by the corners and like stretching it or shrinking it.
Right, right. Exactly.
So for our city planner friend,
yeah.
What would they need to think about when they're using dilations?
So there are two main things, right? Two key players. We've got the center of dilation,
okay.
which is kind of like our anchor point.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the scale factor. And that tells us how much we're enlarging or reducing by. So think of it like this. You put a pin in the center of that blueprint and you enlarge or shrink everything.
Oh, I see.
From that pinpoint.
Yeah.
That's your center of dilation.
That makes sense. So if our scale factor is greater than one.
Yes.
We're talking about an enlargement.
Enlargement, exactly.
So like blowing up a photograph.
Exactly, precisely.
And slide 10, which shows that rectangle ABCD being made larger, that's a great example of that.
Yes. And conversely, if we have a scale factor that's between 0 and 1, that means we're shrinking, we're making a miniature version.
Right.
And slide 11 with that square PQRS shows it being reduced by a scale factor of 1/2.
Half the size. And this reminds me of that real-world example from Describe Dilations. It was slide 7, I think, where they talk about a landscape architect using a scale factor of 3 to design a larger green space.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm realizing now, they're using dilations to keep all the proportions of the design the same, but just change the scale, right?
That's a great observation. You've got it.
Cool. So we've talked about how translations, reflections, rotations, and dilations can change the position and size of a shape.
Yes.
But how can we be sure if two figures are, like, fundamentally the same after all these transformations?
Ah, that is an excellent question, and that gets to the heart of, you know, are these shapes truly still the same shape, even though we've moved them around?
Yeah, like, is a rotated square still fundamentally the same as the original square?
You're talking about congruence.
Congruence.
Yes, and congruence is all about whether two figures are the same shape and size. Even if we've, you know, changed their orientation a bit. Think of it like looking at two pictures. And they're identical, but maybe one's flipped over or it's turned a bit. They're still the same picture.
So we can slide a shape around. We can flip it. We can even spin it.
Right.
And it's still considered congruent because it's keeping that same size and shape.
Exactly.
But with dilations, we're changing the size.
Yes.
So it's not congruent anymore.
Right. That's where we start talking about similarity.
Similarity.
Yeah. So similar figures, they have the same shape, but they might be different sizes.
Okay.
Think of a photograph, and then you have a poster made of that photograph.
Right.
Same picture, different scale.
Okay, that makes sense. So all those dilated figures we were looking at in Describe Dilations, those are similar, not congruent.
Exactly.
Okay.
And slide 14 of Understand Similar Figures really illustrates this. It shows how a dilation will keep the overall shape of the figure the same, but it changes the lengths of the sides.
Okay, so I think I'm getting this. Congruent figures are like identical twins. And similar figures are more like siblings, you know.
I like that analogy. That's a good one.
Similar features, but not exact replicas.
Exactly. And going back to Understand Congruent Figures for a moment, that source tells us that if we can take one shape and just by using translations, reflections, and rotations, if we can manipulate that shape onto another shape, then they're congruent.
So it's like solving a puzzle.
Yeah.
Where you just have to like, you know, slide the pieces around, flip them over, turn them to make them fit.
Like in slide 6, where they use a reflection and a translation to prove that those two quadrilaterals are congruent.
Yes.
But I remember Pasted Text was talking about, like, proving congruence and similarity.
Right.
And that sounds kind of tough.
Well, think of it this way. It's kind of like being a detective, right?
Uh-huh.
We're just trying to find the right combination of moves, the right sequence of transformations to get one figure to match up with the other.
Right.
And sometimes it's not possible.
Yeah.
Like in slide 10 of Understand Congruent Figures, they've got those two triangles. And at first glance, you know, they look pretty similar.
Yeah, they look like they could be.
Yeah, but no matter how much you slide, flip, or turn them, they're not going to perfectly overlap.
Because they're similar, not congruent.
Exactly.
So we would need a dilation to match up their sizes.
You got it. And that brings us back to our chart in slide 18 of Understand Similar Figures.
Okay.
That's like our cheat sheet. It sums up really well which transformations will give us congruent figures and which ones are going to lead to similar figures.
Perfect. Well, this has been an awesome deep dive.
It has.
I feel like I can ace this test now. No problem.
I think you've got it. And, you know, as you continue exploring this topic, here's something to think about. We've seen how reflections, rotations, and translations, those all preserve congruence.
Right, because they keep the shape and size the same.
Exactly. But what happens when you combine those with dilations?
Interesting.
Can you create similar figures that have like specific relationships between their sides?
That's a great question. And something I'll definitely be pondering.
Definitely something to explore.
Well, thanks for joining me on this geometric journey. It's been a wild ride.
It has. Always a pleasure.
And we'll see you all next time for another deep dive.